There we go. Sweet. All good.
How do you want to introduce ourselves? Do you want me to just start? My name is Jordan Clegg. I'm the director of worship arts at First Reformed Church in Zeeland.
Yep.
And then just pass
and
it right.
I'm Bree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Worship leader, choir director at Central Wesleyan Church.
Did you record that?
Yeah.
Oh no!
How was that?
Hello there, this is Josh Banner. I'm the Director of Discipleship with The Awakening. Welcome to this second of a series of podcasts for students who are discerning a call deeper into a love relationship with Jesus. We're just about to begin our fourth year of The Awakening, and we're more confident than ever that The Awakening is a life-changing experience for high school students. If you haven't already listened to the first episode of the Awakening podcast offerings, please do have a listen. In that episode, I sit down with a group of students from the Awakening, and I ask them, what is the unique gift a high school student has to offer the church? And the answer that those students came up with was this. They said, vulnerability. Vulnerability, as in sharing our weaknesses, being open to God's love and to each other, a willingness and a hunger to learn, to grow, and to be together. If you're a student, you know how difficult it can seem at times to freely be yourself with all your strengths and weaknesses, passions and fears. The Awakening continues to be a safe place for teenagers to share their lives with each other in a week of worship and prayer. So, we are excited that The Awakening 2019 is just a few weeks away, and we hope this episode will especially help you prepare for your time with us. If you can't be with us this summer, maybe this podcast can encourage you wherever you are in your journey with God. Here in this episode, worship leaders Bree Harris and Jordan Clegg sat down in my home studio to offer us some worship thoughts, to teach us and to inspire us as worshipers and worship leaders. Bree and Jordan are teachers and facilitators this year at The Awakening, and I'm so thankful they are. And you will hear why in their sharing, their humility, and the joyful love of God and worship that's in them. It's contagious. We will be offering you two more episodes in the next few weeks that continue this conversation, so please stay tuned for those. And here in this episode, after Bree and Jordan share for a while, I will extend an invitation to you to make your own contribution to the Awakening podcast. So here we are with Bree and Jordan. I hope you are encouraged as you listen. Amen.
Bree, I'm looking forward to our conversation today. I thought we'd start with just taking a stab at maybe a couple of definitions of worship. And we should give the disclaimer, right, that there isn't a perfect definition of worship, and there's no one definition that's going to capture all of it. But I thought it'd be a fun exercise for us to just take a shot at it.
Absolutely.
So, do you want to go first?
Oh, sure. I can. Absolutely. I would say that worship is an invitation to respond in awe and adoration to the redeeming acts of God for creation.
I like that word, respond.
Yeah.
Because mine's actually not all that different, because my definition is worship is our grateful response to the triune God's saving acts in our lives and throughout history.
So they both have that element of God's redemption plan for us and us as creation responding to him.
Exactly.
I love that.
I like that a lot. What if we play a little game today to just invite students to consider thinking a little deeper, a little more theologically about worship? You and I have each prepared a few statements that complete the sentence, I used to think worship was, and now I believe. So, Bree, do you want to go first again?
Yes, let's do it. So the first statement that I was thinking through is I used to think that worship was exclusive to music alone, But now I believe that it involves music, speech, scripture readings, prayer, various sacraments, including the giving of our offerings and tithes. I really believe that it's everything we do corporately as we gather as a body of Christ.
I like that a lot. I used to think something very similar in that I used to think worship was primarily music. Mm-hmm. And then there was this thing called a sermon. And then sometimes we would have a little snack after the sermon when we came to the table for communion.
You guys had it good.
So why do you think that you separated these things from each other in the past?
Yeah, I really believed that worship was only happening when music was playing. But as I continue to study the scriptures and really dive into what worship is, going back to our definitions as our response as creation, I realized that music is sort of like a vehicle where music can be worship, but worship is not music alone.
Mm, yeah, I like that a lot. So why do you think it's really important for us as worship leaders to be able to make that distinction, or to be able to recognize that every action that we do when we gather mm-hmm. is worship? It's not just the music.
I really believe that we then take on a holistic approach when we are able to separate that it's not just this one thing. Because unfortunately, many of us in our corporate settings of church services will be in the midst of worship, quote unquote, while the music was playing, when really our lives are to be patterned and designed in worshiping Christ, which 9 times out of 10 in our daily lives, we can exhibit that in so many more ways. So I think for us to make the distinction really helps us to take on more of a holistic approach to God and our response to Him, our invitation to Him, to commune with Him in more ways than one.
It's almost like by recognizing that worship is happening even when we're not singing a song or listening to music, it helps us even take worship with us as we leave a place, as we go out to live lives that are worshipful and glorifying
to God.
That's
so good. That's exactly it.
I like it.
That's it.
All right, here's my first one. I used to think worship was about having a spiritual experience, and now I believe it is more of an offering of myself for the sake of the world.
Wow. Now, when you say that, I believe that that came from definitely a personal place. What in your life and your journey have you gone through that you've come up with that statement?
That's a really good question. I think as I think back about worship experiences that I have had, the times when I have felt maybe you want to call it a moving of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. or even just an emotional response. There have been times when that's the thing that I desired out of worship. I think as I've grown as a worshiper and as a worship leader, I've realized that that those things are good and those things are a gift. And what I'm there to do when I come to worship is actually to give of myself.
Yeah.
So I've grown in such a way that I don't necessarily expect that when I come to worship, because I'm here to give something. And often I do receive something in return. Mm, and I think probably always, whether I'm aware of it or not. But I've just grown to learn that it's a much healthier attitude to come to worship saying, what do I have to offer to God and to my community in this service? And I think it's helped me be at peace with the fact that sometimes you don't feel something.
Very true.
You aren't acutely aware that the Spirit is moving, and that doesn't mean that the Spirit's not doing something. Mm-hmm. I think that worship kind of plays the long game in a lot of ways. You can't always see the results of worship, whether it be the formation of a person or the feelings that we receive week to week. But hopefully you can see the results of worship as formation over the course of someone's lifetime. Mm-hmm. And for me, that actually, I think, even helps me be a better worship leader and take some pressure off myself and depend on God a little bit more.
Talk about it. That's good. I think it's really good to mention with that point that either or isn't wrong, but to have both and is such a awesome testament of growth in relationship with God and understanding that. I like what you said about it's more about giving up something than what you're feeling at that moment.
Yeah. And that's not to say that we don't bring our emotions with us.
Very true.
Into worship. And it's not to say that God doesn't care about our emotions. I think God does care about our emotions. And I think that it's a good thing for us as worship leaders to try to capture the emotional tone of whatever it is that we're inviting people to engage with God about in the worship
service. You could just preach right now. So speaking of engaging with God, here's another point that I came with, is I used to think that worship was a monologue, but now I believe it's actually a dialogue and that God joins in with us as we come to him.
Yeah, I like that. Help us understand a little bit more about what you feel like the difference is between monologue worship versus dialogue worship, or I wanted to say monologic worship versus dialogic worship.
Like,
is that a word? Are those words?
It can be. Well, my thoughts on this point is really stemming from my thinking of other worshiping traditions. So these are traditions that aren't Christocentric, which means are centered on Christ, but other traditions in religion, such as Hinduism or Buddhism, how we all engage of the quote unquote act of worship. But as Christians, we believe that our God is very present in this moment with us now and that he's ever speaking. So when I thought about these other communities who engage in what they believe are worship, the giving of their selves, the adoration too, I realized that they're giving their worship, but it's not necessarily one that is responded to. Now, we can have a lot of different discussions concerning that, but as Christians or Christ followers, believers, I believe that the Lord is inviting us to respond and to fellowship in relationship with us as his creation. And that's what's so beautiful about Christocentric worship to me.
So what I hear you saying, and I think if I'm hearing you correctly, I really, really like this. You're suggesting that when Christians gather for worship, that we're gathering to worship a God who is actively at work
very much
in
so.
Our worship, maybe even initiates our worship.
Yes, absolutely.
To begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that a lot,
Bri. Absolutely. And I just love the picture that we receive in Zephaniah where God is singing over us.
Mm.
And as we engage in worship through music and we're singing to him and uplifting songs of praise from the fruit of our lips, to have a deity or creator who loves us enough to then respond and sing, I think is such a beautiful portrait of his love for us.
Mm, that's great. So my next one is, I used to think that authentic, this is your word, Bri.
I love that word.
I used to think that authentic spirit-led worship meant regularly improvising prayers and other moments.
Mm.
And now I believe that the Holy Spirit also works profoundly through ancient structures, careful planning, and strong pastoral leadership.
Now, I really like this one because in our conversations with each other, we've acknowledged that we come from different traditions where my quote unquote charismatic background would be all about what you would consider spontaneous worship, if you will, improv, leaving space in moments. But it's also through careful planning, as you mentioned, where we can see the Holy Spirit still move. How has that played out in your worship planning?
Well, I think some of this speaks to my personality, too, is that I really like, I like the act of planning. And I think even for me, as I plan a worship service, I feel like it's an act of prayer, actually. Mm. In some ways, it's a devotional act for me personally, that then kind of becomes like kind of grows into this offering to the community that invites them to engage with God and respond to God. I mean, I should clarify that I'm not making anything happen in a very worship good. Service. Neither mm-hmm. one of us are. And no worship leader makes anything happen, but we do invite people to respond to what God is doing, as we've already touched on. Yeah. So one thing that, that has really been formative for me as a worship leader is understanding that worship has a structure, and, yes. and that all Christian traditions really basically follow the same structure of gathering, word, table, and sending. And I actually even like to use language that gives the action to God in these. Mm, and so language that I've even used with congregations that I've served is that God gathers us, God speaks to us, God feeds us, and God sends us into the world. So even just gaining an understanding that there's this ancient structure that Christians have always really followed when we worship,
right.
that even can trace its roots back to ancient Hebrew worship, really shaped the way that I thought about worship. It helped me understand that worship is a story.
I love that.
And that when we gather for worship, we're engaging in the story of God. We're doing God's story, as Robert Weber liked to talk about.
Yeah, and, I love that.
And so even just knowing the four parts of that structure, if you can memorize those four things, which I think most of us can, then to some degree, you know the story of God.
Very much so.
And we get to rehearse that when we gather for worship.
I love that it all entails the fluidity of the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit.
Yep.
I love the saying that we worship God the Father through Jesus the Son by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I know we'll dive into that a little deeper later, but it plays a significant point in even this next point that I would like to give. I used to think that worship was edification for the individual alone. And now I believe that it is also strengthening for the entire body of Christ to encounter God with others and understand that it is one body but many members.
Hmm. Tell me, Bree, I need a little help with this word edification. What do you mean by this word edification?
Oh, that's a great question. Edification, I truly see it as the strengthening, the building up of the thing, oneself, mm-hmm. someone else.
Kind of like someone's character, or maybe how they choose to engage with the world or behave
sure,
outside of the worship service.
Truly, yeah. Truly. In this specific case, I see it as more introspective. That's when we
yep.
oh, in yeah. ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I am thinking of edification for the individual, that time that you are with God in worship, plainly just spending time with him, I do believe that it can be the building up to something even better, because mm-hmm. in worship, it is inevitable that it is transformative,
yeah,
which is what absolutely. We would want
yep.
in general. So I would tag that along too.
Yeah, good. I had a teacher once explain to me that worship is deeply personal and never private.
Ooh.
Which kind of hits on even Jesus' words of saying, where two or three are gathered, there I am also.
Yes, sir. That yep. is absolutely it. That's yeah. absolutely it. He would be in our midst.
Yeah. Okay, so you ready for the last one?
Yes.
All right, this is going to get deep.
Talk about it.
And I'm really excited about it. I used to think worship was dependent on me as a worship leader. And now I believe it is fully dependent on God's action.
Ooh, break that down.
So this kind of gets at something that really, it didn't just change my ability to plan and be what I hope is an effective worship leader. This kind of changed my life, and it changed my faith, and it changed the way that I viewed my faith. And we already kind of hit on it a little bit earlier, but it's this idea that God is Trinity. God is triune,
yes.
three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trinity is at work in our worship in such a way that, as I said earlier, we're not making anything happen as worship leaders. We're not making anything happen as worshipers. Mm-hmm. We are joining in a thing that's already happening. We're joining in the eternal and constant worship of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so we depend fully on God's action, God's gift of sort of coming down to us, condescending to us.
Sure, yes.
And then raising us up so that this line between heaven and earth starts to get really blurry when mm-hmm. we gather for worship. The other piece of this that was really formative for me is thinking about how Christ is active in our worship.
Yes.
And again, we're getting back to this. We don't worship a static God. We worship an active God.
Very much so.
In worship. So this idea that Christ, I'm going to use this word, mediates. So mediates our worship.
Right.
What I mean by that is that Christ worships with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he worships for us.
Yes.
Christ is in our midst, and Christ worships on our behalf. And so our imperfect worship offering, because I don't know about you, Bree, but I've never planned a perfect worship service.
Oh, neither have
I. All of mine fall embarrassingly short of what God actually deserves. But the idea of thinking that Christ receives our worship, worships on our behalf, and presents our worship as holy and perfect before God the Father,
yes,
really started to change my way of thinking, not just about worship, but about my faith and about how if Christ does that in worship, then does Christ do that for me all the time?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yes.
So then we get to the third part of the Trinity, which is what's the Holy Spirit's role in our worship? Well, the Spirit is the one that enables us.
Yes.
Scripture tells us that we receive power when mm-hmm. we receive the Holy Spirit. And the superpowers we get from the Holy Spirit is that we receive this power to perceive that God is active and mm-hmm. God is speaking and gathering and yes. feeding. And then the power we get from the Holy Spirit is that power to respond to this active God.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes all the pressure off of me as a worship leader to try to make something happen. And it gives it all to God to say, God, whatever you want to happen here is what's going to happen, no matter what I plan.
Exactly. How freeing is that to know that the Lord entrusts us with the great and sacred task of leading worship, not only in our own lives and our families' lives before the corporate body, but that on top of that, he gives us the empowerment and endowment of his Holy Spirit to do so and do so well. That's beautiful.
Well, you know, if you can even get super practical with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that guitar's out of tune, does God hear the guitar that's out of tune? Or does Jesus kind of cosmically tune the guitar so that it sounds beautiful too?
Well, remember, he's singing over us. Maybe his voice is a little louder than the guitar.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I kind of like thinking about it that way too. So.
Yeah, but no, that's beautiful. I love that, the picture that it paints. Hmm. It's us joining with heaven.
As I said at the beginning of this episode, I will be sharing more of this conversation between Bree and Jordan in the next few weeks, so please stay tuned. Now, some of you may already be discerning a call into a ministry of worship arts, and some of you may be further down the road, having already found a confidence that you do want to serve the church as a worship musician, a worship tech. Some of you listening may be visual artists, dancers, or even preachers. And some listening may be just barely beginning to realize that Jesus is real and that you want to give your life to him and that there really is a way for you to follow in his love, his teachings, and life. Wherever you are in your journey, know that you are exactly in the right place. Whether you feel near God or far away and distant, the Holy Spirit is inviting you deeper into a relationship with God. Know that there is no rush. God is always gracious, compassionate, and patient with you and me. We are just excited for you to join us at the Awakening, just as you are. Here is my promise. I'll be me, and you can be you. Bree and Jordan and all the college interns will be seeking to be just exactly who Jesus has made them for today, with their questions, weaknesses, passions, and fears. So yes, come as you are. And during the Awakening, you might see me around with a microphone. I want to continue asking this question. What is the unique gift of a high school student? What are you learning, tasting, and seeing about God that others, as in adults, what might we be missing out on? What can you see and hear that we can't? So if you have a word to share, some testimony, some encouragement, some question or thought, please come and see me. We will see you soon. Amen. Mm-hmm.